Okay. Get back into Galatians in just a minute. But, you know, tomorrow, people get off work and they don't go to school. And the reason on the national level, and I guess the state level and whatever, but not on my level, is because of a man who was a philanderer, which means he ran around on his wife, and a whoremonger, and he spent the last night of his life in a hotel room with a whore. He was a plagiarizer, which means he stole his speeches and his papers. All this is established. Even his friends acknowledge this. I know what the FBI did and the files they got on him, and I'm not a great lover of J. Edgar Hoover and what the government does, but it's kind of like the thing they wanted to do here in these recent elections. And I didn't vote. I don't, you know, pox on all of them, but Democrats were upset because they said the Russians had hacked us and exposed us. They exposed stuff that happened. They exposed the corruption. So regardless of what Hoover did or whatever, the corruption of this man was exposed. And his friends have written books about it subsequently, acknowledging these things. The man was a consummate liar. If he was not a communist, he was certainly a communist dupe. And he continued to employ communists even after the president of the United States and the president's brother, who was attorney general. They're making big stink about that now, too, aren't they? And Kennedy was a president of the United States. He appointed his brother to be the attorney general. Anyway, they warned him. Said, you can't continue to employ these people because they're communists. And he fired them. Except not really. He just, on the surface, did. And he kept employed. And perhaps more than anything, the man was a false prophet. He presented himself as a gospel minister. He presented himself even as a Baptist. I don't know if you read my latest blog and some of the other things going on. You got two Baptist ministers there in D.C., two lesbians that they're married to one another, and the church there in D.C. called them the pastor, the church. And they claimed to be a Baptist church. In fact, up until 2015, that church was still a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Just because it says Baptist don't mean it's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not. And because someone says I'm a gospel minister, doesn't mean they're a gospel minister. And, well, yeah, that's kind of like the whole point of what we were doing over there in Galatians, isn't it? That's what Paul's dealing with. And you remember where he wrote the saints there in Galatia, as he started out the book. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now we shouldn't say bad things about people. Well, Paul said some pretty bad things about people. There weren't people who were just misled or people who were mistaken. You know, when he deals with the saints in Galatia, he tries to deal with them in compassion and tries to guide them. But these were false teachers, false prophets who were coming there and spreading their lies. Paul, not bashful, he says, let them be accursed. Then the very next verse, he says, and as we said before, this wasn't the first time he'd warned them about these kind of things. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And yet, this country sets aside a day to honor and uplift this man. Martin Luther King. The prophet Isaiah warned us hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. In Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, we're smart. We've grown above those things. I mean, the Ten Commandments and God's, you know, those things. We're wiser and smarter and bigger than those things now. We're wise in our own eyes and we're prudent in our own sight. I mean, just, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. And in no way, in no fashion or form, was that man a Christian. His own writings. I don't have to believe it. Go back and look. You can look them up on the internet. I'm not going to go through them all today. Maybe someday I will. He denied the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, except you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. If you don't believe I'm God, you will perish in your sins. That's what he was saying. If you don't believe I am, you shall perish in your sins. You remember when Moses was at the burning bush and God was in there. Moses said, who are you? And he said, I am that I am.
That's right.
Jesus Christ said, if you don't believe that I am, you should perish. And you say, well, that's really what he meant. Well, I'm going to tell you what. All those Jews that were listening to him, they thought that's what he meant because they tried to kill him because of it. Jesus Christ was God. And if you don't believe that, you'll perish in your sins. That's simple. He denied the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He denied his sacrifice on the cross, the substitutionary atonement. He denied the bodily resurrection. He denied his bodily return. He denied the inspiration of Scripture. And yet, folks, want to lift him up as a gospel minister. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's this country, folks. And I'm not bashful, and some folks don't like it, but that's okay. That's why there's no striped rag up here. That's why I say it ain't my flag and it ain't my country. They don't like that. Well, they cannot like that. I understand we're kind of all in the midst of it. The Lord's kind of planted us here. Why, I don't know. You just pray for his mercy upon us. Because payday someday. On the other hand, I don't want to just dwell upon the negative. You know I'm not a negative person. Oh, my wife's giving me a look now. But, okay, maybe a little bit. Sometimes. But it does always usually bring up when we have Confederate Memorial Day kind of verse I focus things around. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, where Paul wrote to the saints at Philippi, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know? So I can blast the arch heretic. But that's kind of why we do Confederate Memorial Day and other things. And there's some good things this month. And I'll just mention them a little bit in passing. Brother Howell sent out Florida Secession Day greetings. And I can never forget it because it's the birthday of my middle child, but I wouldn't forget it anyway. January 10th is Florida Secession Day. We have something to thank the Lord for in that. I mean, one of the discussions I was having with a fellow this week, a moron, and he said, well, so Florida was never an independent country or nation. Well, I could have hit that on so many different levels. I could have went back to the Republic of Florida. I could have went back when Florida came into the United States. Every state was to be accepted on equal grounds, and all the states in the original compact were admitted as free and independent nations or states. But beyond that, I just sent him a little quote from the Florida Ordinance of Secession. And our ancestors, back on January 10th, 1861, and I would love to hear these words ring out again, says, we, the people of the state of Florida, in convention assembled, do solemnly ordain and publish and declare that the state of Florida hereby withdraws herself from the Confederacy of States existing under the name of the United States of America and from existing government of said states, and that all power and that all political connection between her and the government of said states ought to be, and the same is hereby, totally annulled, and that the union of states dissolved, and the state of Florida is hereby declared a sovereign and independent nation. And that's, you know, as it was intended, even by the founders in the Constitution, certainly back to the Articles of Confederation. But so that's a positive to thank God. This week is the birthday of, in my opinion, two of the finest examples of Christian manhood, you know, that walked the face of the earth. I'm sure there were better Christians. A lot of them were you never heard about, and there's, you know, folks like, but two men who in their lives and their testimony show forth what it means to be a Christian and a man. And I'm speaking, of course, of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Robert E. Lee's birthday is January 19th, you know. A lot of places, kind of, the king has displaced him in celebrations, and some places they still have a King/Lee. That's kind of perverse, isn't it? I don't, but anyway, and I'll just give you a couple quotes, and I've preached, you know, in more detail on these things. But Robert E. Lee said this, and having said this, I'm sure I'll meet him again on the other side. General Lee said, I can only say that I am nothing but a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Brother, that's it in a nutshell. That's something only God brings you to. Because a man likes to think, well, you know, I did this. I've lived a pretty good life, I tell you. I come from a good background. My dad rode in Washington, and you know, I've lived a good, fine, moral, upstanding life. That's what Lee said. He said, I can only say that I'm nothing but a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone for salvation. 21st is Stonewall Jackson's birthday. Just a couple quotes from him. And some of them, I know you've heard most of these before, but Stonewall replied to one of his staff officers who asked him, said, General, how do you keep so calm in the midst of battle? You know, bullets are flying everywhere and cannonballs are exploding. How do you keep so calm? And Stonewall said, Captain, My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that. But to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me. That is why all men should live thus. And then they would be equally brave. Trusting God. I don't always attain to that, but God always gives me peace, you know. Because, listen, He's sovereign. He's appointed the time of my death. And I don't have to worry about it. I wish I could tell you I never worry, but... But I don't have to. I shouldn't. Stowall lost his first child and his first wife within hours of one another. And he said this. He said, "My tears have not ceased to flow." We don't. Christians grieve. They don't grieve like the rest of the world. They still grieve. Stowall said, "My tears have not ceased to flow, my heart to bleed. But one upward glance of the eye of faith gives a return that all is well. And that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Are not his promises wide enough?" Sometimes I get just think, I'm going to just get off and not get into these discussion groups and talk with people. And has some this guy, I think, is just an out-and-out liar and whatever. But anyway, they were talking, and it came up on something that wasn't even associated. But he had to throw in all this vile language and stuff, supposed to be a Confederate Southerner. And I said, "I don't think Jackson and Lee would approve." And oh yeah, they were warriors. And I sent him a bunch of quotes, you know, where Lee said there's never an excuse for profanity. And Jackson, you know, likewise, and told one of his commanders, I'm afraid you're an evil man because of the way he spoke. He won the battle, but he had still concern for those things. Those things matter. They were fine, upstanding Christian Southern men. And that's, you know, what we can aspire to. Jackson also said, "Unconditional faith and complete trust in the Lord conquers all vices, blesses us with joy and happiness, for only darkness once appeared, and gives strength and courage in times of adversity." Now, would it be better if we gave our kids a day off and had them think on men of this sort of character than the kind of folks that are lifted up today? We wonder why the black communities are in the mess they're in. It's because they lift up folks like Martin Luther King as their heroes. And brethren, it's everywhere. It's not just in the black community. I get on with some folks I'm dealing with, supposed to be good, strong conservatives. And boy, they're just worshiping at the throne of Martin Luther King. I'm like, don't these people know anything? And so, again, I think it's worthwhile to think on these things. On things that are virtuous and honorable. Things that lift up the Lord. Things that encourage. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So, you know, I'll plant that. I've got too much time to get on Galatians. I wanted to say that before I went on. I just think it's important. Where we stand, who we are. And to stand all alone. It's better to do that than to stand with a bunch of compromisers. And if folks don't like it, and they run off, it's better to have them do that than to come in and water down and dilute the truth and those things that are honorable, the right and just and so forth. And so, in Galatians, Paul was concerned with the saints there. Concerned with these false teachers that had come in and were spreading false doctrine. Paul had to defend himself because of their lies. Then he had to defend the gospel. Had to defend his own experience. And then when we got over to chapter 3, Paul encouraged the saints there in Galatia to think on their own experiences. He said, you know, think back on your own experiences. You know, are those things that these false teachers that are proclaiming to you, can they be possibly true? For those foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth among you, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receives ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? God, I wish what I was getting back there to Lee said, I'm nothing but a poor sinner trusting in Christ alone. He said, well, you know, what did you have to add to that? What did you do? What did you, you know, to make it? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? It's something God did, that we're going to perfect it in the flesh. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? And then he says, he therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he hit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I mean, all that you've experienced since the Lord saved you, did that come because of something you did? Did that come because of your works? Or did it come by the hearing of faith? And again, that faith, and it's important that we emphasize this as we go on, and Paul does it in the New Testament. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. And not my faith. And not something I worked up. You know, I really, really tried hard enough. Finally, I got enough faith to just get myself saved. It don't work that way. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And so Paul asked them there in verse 5, you know, he that ministered in the Spirit, did he work miracles? Did he by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Well, now, Paul doesn't wait for them to answer. Well, because that's more or less what we call a rhetorical question. You know, the answer is pretty evident. It has to be by the hearing of faith. And so then he goes into where we left off, into the example of Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, if you go back, and we're going to, at least some, not extreme detail, or that'd be the rest of my life. But we're going to go back and look a little bit at Abraham and what God did. And when God said, declared Abraham righteous, it was before he was circumcised. And Abraham was a Gentile. He was a pagan until the Lord called him out and gave him faith. Thing is, see, there's like, depending on how you count Abraham and his son and his grandson, they're like three generations before there's such a thing called Israel. Abraham had Isaac, you know, and then Isaac had Jacob, whom the Lord renamed Israel. So, you know, was Abraham an Israelite? Well, I don't know how that could actually be. You know, that's what Paul's point is here. And when God declared him righteous, it was before God even told him to begin the institution of circumcision. We'll talk about that a little bit too, because that speaks of the covenant.
That's good.
And God reaffirmed that covenant with him. But Abraham believed God, and God accounted to him for righteousness. The Bible speaks of the faith of Abraham, which is the faith that Abraham possessed, which is the faith of Christ. And when it starts out, sometimes it's just a little thing. When Abraham started out, and when God declared him righteous, and Abraham was justified, let me say this, before the foundation of the world. But in time, he was declared righteous. See? In time. And God declared him righteous. Boy, Abraham had such great, big, strong faith. And God said, I'm going to give you a seed, and all the nations are going to be blessed with you, through you, and to you and your wife. You know how strong Abraham's faith was then? He went out and got a concubine. Because he thought his wife was too old, and they'd never had children. They couldn't have children. So he went out and got a concubine and had a child by her. And said, well, you know, I'm going to help God out a little bit. And his name was Ishmael. And he was the father of Arabs. And how did that work out? See? But that's Abraham's, it wasn't Abraham's faith, it was the faith of Christ. And even though it begins small, it was God declared him righteous. Abraham wasn't perfect. He never was. But then his faith wasn't all that great, big, and strong. I said, I'm going to do this. And Abraham said, okay. And then it didn't happen fast. And he said, I'm going to help God out. Yeah. I'll just go get me a concubine. I'll raise me up a son through another woman. But that's when God declared. You know, that gives me some comfort and peace. I think about that. And I think Abraham's faith, it wasn't so big back then. And God declared him righteous. You know? It wasn't so perfect back then. Now, eventually, I'm getting all ahead of myself and preaching my next four sermons or something. But anyway, I want you to hear a little bit of it, and we'll get details later. But eventually comes to the time, Abraham's little faith like that, God declared him righteous then, before circumcision. And even then, Abraham had said, and first started off by saying, okay, God, take my servant and let him be my heir, because I can't have kids. Just take my servant and let him be my heir. God said, no, I'm going to give you heirs. And then Abraham said, okay, I'll help you out. I'll get a concubine, and then I'll have a son through her. And then Abraham said, let Ishmael be my heir. God said, no. I'm going to give you an heir through Sarah. Abraham said, she's an old woman, you know. Come on. And eventually, he gets that son. And you see, Abraham's faith was strengthened. It grew because God grew. Not because Abraham. God grew his faith. And it came to the point, finally, God said, I'm going to give you a son. Your heir, your seed is going to be Isaac. And then what happens? God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac out and sacrifice him. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He says, how am I expecting this? I want you to take Isaac out and I want you to sacrifice him. You know what Scripture says? He rose up early the next morning and went out to do what God told him to. You see, how much Abraham's faith had grown from trying to say, take my servant and let me help you out and whatever. And God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, I want you to take him out and sacrifice him. Well, of course, I hope most of you know the rest of the story. You know, he gets out there to sacrifice him, and God says, wait, don't do it. Don't do it. I was looking for the passage in Hebrews. I may just have to paraphrase it. But anyway, God says, go on out there and sacrifice Isaac. and God stays his hand, gives him a substitute, picture Christ, that he sacrifices. And Paul tells us this in Hebrews. He says, by faith of Christ, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now God had said, I'm going to give you the seed, I'm going to fulfill my promises through Isaac. And then God said, I want you to go out and I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham didn't say, that ain't the way, that can't work out. No, Abraham said, okay. God promised me a seed through Isaac, to fulfill the covenant through Isaac. And if God has me sacrifice Isaac, he's just going to have to raise it back up again. I mean, because God's promises can't fail. God said, I'm going to fulfill it through Isaac. And Paul wrote in Hebrews 11, and we'll wrap it up here. We'll go over this all again in more detail. In Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, God said this, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. And, you know, Abraham was an old man. Sarah was an old man. They were essentially, as far as half the family, they were dead. And he had received him miraculously that way. And he says, okay, if God actually has me sacrifice my son, he can raise him up too. Because he's promised he's going to fulfill it through Isaac. Now, Abraham's faith went from a little bit to a bunch. And God did it. God does it. And I just pray that he helps our faith to grow along from a little bit to a bunch.
That's right.
But that little bit's from him. And that little bit was enough for God to declare him, to openly declare him righteous. Because he believed God, and he believed the promise. And you go back, read the testimony of Christ. Abraham saw his day. Abraham heard the gospel of his salvation and embraced it. He didn't know everything we know, but he knew enough. By the grace of God. We serve a wonderful God and a sovereign God. And in spite of all the stuff that goes on about us, in spite of what day is today? Oh man, it's going to happen this week. In spite of all the stuff that happens this week there in Washington, D.C. and everything, God is on the throne. And he is in control. And he's working his perfect will with his people. And we can rest it. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing closing hymn together, number 172, In All My Lord's Appointed Ways. 172. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn.
In all my Lord's appointed ways, my journey I'll pursue. Hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. Through floods and flames, if Jesus lead, I'll follow where he goes. Hinder me not, shall be my cry, though earth and hell oppose. Through duty and through trials too, I'll go at his command. Hinder me not, for I am bound to my Emmanuel's land. And when my Savior calls me home, still this my cry shall be. Enter me not, come welcome death, I'll gladly go with thee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the privilege to gather here as your people. Thank you, Lord, for this little assembly that you've raised up here. Father, thank you for your word, from which we hear, thus saith the Lord from on high. We need not lean to our own understandings. Father, thank you for the all-sufficient atoning death of our Savior. Father, thank you for that faith of Christ that you give to your saints. Be it ever so small, by which we embrace the gospel of our salvation, receive the benefits of that which was accomplished on Calvary and which actually was accepted in eternity. Lord, these things are beyond our comprehension. Such love. Father, we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. I pray your hand upon us as we go throughout this week. May we live lives that show whose we are. May Christ be glorified in us. And Lord, for sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. And for those that need your healing hand, and Lord, we just thank you again for our Savior. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.